Thank you very much, Chair, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to be back at the WTO after having participated in your 20th anniversary event back in April when you were talking about trade and environment. And Chair, I also had the opportunity to brief this committee back in October last year on what Director General Azevedo has just referred to, CITES and global collaborative efforts to combat illegal trade in timber. It's a great honour to be here with Director General Azevedo to launch this publication, and I think I can see it on everybody's table. It's a very short publication, technically accurate, but very easy to read. So encourage you all to have a look. We're very proud of what's come together in putting this together for our 40th anniversary and WTO's 20th anniversary. CITES entered into force on the 1st of July 1975, so it was a timely opportunity to bring together this publication. CITES was described in the outcomes of Rio Plus 20 back in 2012 as an important international agreement that stands at the intersection between trade, the environment, and development. And that can be a very dangerous intersection at which to stand, but it is a very apt description of CITES. And the CITES parties have adopted a vision, a CITES vision, strategic vision through to 2020. And one of the objectives of that is for us to enhance our cooperation with trade, environment and development organisations and agreements. And we've directly engaged with many organisations over the years across many sectors, including with the enforcement sector and the natural resources sector. With respect to enforcement, we've created the International Consortium on Combating Wildlife Crime, known as IQIC. It's a collaborative initiative between the CITES Secretariat, Interpol, UN Office of Drugs and Crime, World Customs Organization and the World Bank. And we've worked across the natural resources sector, such as with the International Tropical Timber Organization on trade in tropical timbers that are listed under CITES, and with the Food and Agriculture Organization on trade in CITES-listed marine species, such as various species of sharks. But this year, what we've focused very much on is the three T's. That is trade, and in particular, our relationship with the WTO, transport, and in particular, our interrelationship with the International Air Transport Association, IATA, and I just had the chance to address their annual general meeting 2 weeks ago, and with tourism, and in particular with the other WTO, the UN World Tourism Organization. A quick reminder about CITES. We are a legally binding international agreement. As of the 8th of July, we will have 181 parties. The European Union will become a party as of the 8th of July, noting that all 28 member states have been parties for some considerable time. We regulate both commercial and non-commercial trade in certain species of plants and animals, and in fact, we regulate trade in over 35,000 species of plants and animals at the moment. That is live or dead, or their parts or derivatives, all regulated under the convention. And the three appendices to the convention afford differing levels of protection for these 35,000 species. That depends primarily upon their biological status and whether or not they are in trade or may be affected by trade. Just to give you some examples, the convention neither promotes nor wholly prohibits international trade in wildlife, as a decision to engage in trade that is allowed under the convention is a sovereign decision. But rather we regulate trade when it does occur to be sure it's legal, it's sustainable and it's traceable. Examples. International commercial trade is prohibited in some wild caught specimens, such as trade in elephant ivory, rhino horn, great apes, marine turtles and tigers. And we are experiencing at the moment a surge in the illegal trade of a number of these specimens, in particular as it affects the African elephant and rhino. And I actually had a chance to address your committee on that back in October, where we also talked about the difficulties we're confronting with illegal trade in rosewood. But international commercial trade in other specimens is allowed, and in fact is allowed in 97% of the 35,000 species, but it is strictly regulated to avoid over-exploitation. And to give you some examples, and Director General's already given some, it's the skin of the crocodile, the alligator and the python. Large volumes in trade from many different regions. Many python skins from Indonesia, crocodile from South America, alligator from North America, and also from where I'm from, Australia, high volume trade in crocodile skins. A lot of it's used in the fashion sector, shoes, clothes, bags, watch straps, in particular here in Switzerland. The trade in the meat of the queen conch. It's a shellfish, primarily traded from the Caribbean to North America. The meat is very sought after, and the meat is consumed in particular in the southern part of the United States. The wool of the vicuña. The vicuña is like a llama, a very fine wool. The wool is sheared basically by local communities and traded in particular to Europe. Within one Peruvian town alone, there are over 900 people employed directly and indirectly, directly as a result of the trade in the vicuña wool. You can buy a vicuña wool suit for $50,000. This one is not a vicuña wool suit. And also examples such as the bark of the African cherry tree. The bark of the African cherry tree exported from many African states, such as Cameroon, and it comes to countries such as Switzerland, where it's used to make prostate medicine. They're just some examples, and as the Director General said, legal and sustainable trade in wildlife can benefit both wildlife and people. Our convention relies upon trade-related measures to achieve its conservation and sustainable use objectives, and you find such measures throughout the text of the convention and in the various resolutions and decisions of the parties. And the convention has harmoniously coexisted with the WTO and before that with the GATT for the past 40 years. And as Director General Azevedo said, although a number of academic and other commentators talked about tension and potential conflict between WTO and CITES, there's not been a single WTO dispute directly challenging a CITES trade-related measure over the 40-year history of our convention. The co-publication we are launching today, as the Director General said, explains why. I'm not going to go into the detail that Director General Azevedo did. Briefly, the GATT was consulted in the drafting of CITES, so it was directly consulted on the text of the convention as it was being drafted. We are both multilateral rules-based regimes, and we both share a common goal of sustainable development. I think, as is evident from the release of the publication today, both the CITES and WTO secretariats are committed to building on their strong foundation of cooperation and to further improve the mutual supportiveness between both CITES and the WTO. And as the Director General said, this is a pivotal year for sustainable development. This is the right time to tell the story of our harmonious relationship over the past decades and to look forward to the promise of future and closer collaboration, including through policy dialogue, technical assistance, capacity building, and the Director General referred to the Trade Facilitation Agreement and how and why we see that as relevant you will find in this publication. We spend a lot of time analysing what is not going right, but we don't often pause to celebrate what is working well and why. And today we pause for a few moments to highlight what has been achieved over the last 20 years between CITES and the WTO and the benefits to countries of our collective efforts to tackle increasingly interconnected global challenges in a coherent and effective manner. In doing so, I'd like to join with the Director General in thanking our excellent staff for their efforts in developing this joint publication, and to end by acknowledging the negotiators whose untiring efforts lie behind the agreed text that provide the foundation for our work.